pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
You are about to listen to I Told You So, the world's greatest relationship podcast, hosted by Tiffany and Jeff, two people in the healthiest relationship of all time.
Join our power couple as we explore the ups and downs of love, offering you the tools you need to navigate the relationship scene with charm, humor, and grace.
Welcome to I Told You So, where love is our business.
And laughter is our secret weapon.
Hi.
Hi.
It's been a minute.
It really has been.
And I don't think we've recorded since November.
No.
No.
It's been so long.
One
thing after another.
There's a lot of things that happened.
Yeah.
Good and bad.
Oh, yeah. We ended this year with a bang of the goods and the bads.
Did we?
Yes.
With good and bad?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take that. So what? I don't know. Let's go back to November. We got to go back earlier than that. We got to go, when were you in Boston?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was way before.
Yeah, but when were you in Boston?
I was in Boston the end of August.
So at the end of August, you're in Boston. You're on a work trip.
Yeah.
You end up checking yourself into the ER.
I Ubered.
Yeah, because of kidney stones and what we thought might have been, you know, a kidney infection.
Yeah.
They gave you some pills, some antibiotics that were apparently...
They sent me home. They gave me some meds and sent me back home to my hotel room. And then called me the next day. I was actually at Fenway.
Watching a baseball game.
And the ER doctor called and said, you have a bad infection. We need to get you on antibiotics.
Yeah. So we flash forward to November. I mean, it had to be November.
Had to have been.
And you are still in pain and you're still dealing with what's basically an infection.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys go into the ER. And the ER's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And so they put you in a fucking ambulance and send you over to the hospital.
Yeah, the bigger hospital.
Yeah. Oh, just, I mean, it's a weird little building.
It is.
That is just an ER.
It's nice. It works for its purpose. But yeah. They can't admit you.
Right. So they send you over to the hospital. And this is where my frustration levels get very high with the medical industry.
Mm-hmm.
So they send you over because they're like, holy shit, this is important that you're in a hospital where they can take care of you.
Yeah.
So you see a doctor, and this is the part where I'm still at work, so I'm not quite sure what happened. You see a doctor, they do some tests,
mm-hmm.
You're in a room, nothing, till the next morning. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in there, and in comes this doctor who says, there's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we could tell that you're in pain because something's higher than it should be.
Yeah.
You know? But everything else seems fine. And we had just been told the day before that you're a fucking mess and you need to go to a hospital. And he's like, so we're just going to hang on to you overnight and see what's what.
Very confusing.
Very annoying. Very infuriating,
yeah,
is what it was. So... you go through the day, lots of terrible pain, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they did they do another test that day?
I can't remember. All the days kind of blurred together when you're in the hospital.
And so another 24 hours passes before we see another doctor. And then he's a new doctor and he comes in. He's like, yeah, you're a mess.
Yeah. I was so grateful to hear him say that too, because I was questioning my sanity. You know, you question, like, what is this in my head? What's happening? Is it something more serious that they can't find?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was great. He was a very nice guy. We enjoyed him.
Yes, he was.
We had him for the next 3 days.
He was about 20 years old. And
he was a teenager, wasn't he?
But he was. He was wonderful. He took time with us. He explained things, you know.
Yeah. I think my only real frustration with him was... The hospital had a one doctor visit per 24 hours.
Oh.
And so they were only coming in the morning for a minute, explaining something, and then disappearing.
Yeah.
And then we wait all day for whatever, you know. And so, I mean, you were in for 5 days?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost, yeah.
And they sent you home, and you still didn't feel good.
No.
No, you were still a mess for another couple of weeks.
I'm feeling, yeah, it took me a while. Like, I was really tired, too. We went to the planetarium a couple days after I got home, and yeah, I felt it.
Yeah, you were good for about an hour, and then everything just kind of went like, to shit.
Oh, my God, I got to get out of here.
So we leave November. We enter into December, where just the worst luck hit you.
It did?
It did. It did.
I'm trying to remember.
Well, it was on the 9th. You don't remember the bad thing that happened to you on the 9th?
No.
Oh. Okay. Well, that's only a little
I'm
hurtful.
I'm blinking. Oh, the bad thing?
Yeah. The dumb thing you did.
Okay, I'm like, no, it was all good. Like, that was, no, it was all good in December.
So, we're coming out of November into December, and we, my youngest is moving out of the house. Uh-huh. And the dog, my dog, that's been living with him, needs a new place to live. And so we go into this insane scramble for about 3-4 days. And cannot figure anything out. Can't find anybody to rehome him with. Everything's going shitty. I'm a fucking mess.
Yeah.
Because I like dogs more than I like people.
It's true.
And I am particularly fond of this dog. Ozzy's a good boy.
He's so sweet.
So he comes over to the house for a couple of days. And him and Pizza Dog do not get along.
That was insanity.
Pizza bit him on the face right away. Just... And Ozzy, apparently, which I did not know up until this point, holds a fucking grudge.
I wonder where he learned that behavior from.
Shut up. And anytime these two caught sight of each other, it was just all... And they're just screaming at one another for days.
So we did the crazy, this dog in this room, we'll let this one out.
Yep. Yep.
Hide him in this bathroom until we take this dog out.
Yeah, I'm spent, what, 3 days sleeping out in the living room on the air mattress.
On the floor.
With Ozzy, so that, I was just nuts. So we get to the 9th, and the 9th is the day of your birthday party, where we celebrate you being born.
The big 40.
I know. Congratulations.
Thank
Welcome
you.
To it.
I love it.
You know, shake hands.
It's there been very, yeah.
Very good on Thank a podcast.
40's been great. I'm excited about 40.
You've been 40 for 5 minutes. So let's just...
It's
let's
been a great 5 minutes.
My pessimism's all... Yeah, let's just wait a few minutes. To see how
no, I'm convinced. I'm convinced my 30s were better than my 20s, and my 40s are going to be better than my 30s. It's just the way it is.
That's because of me.
Yeah.
Okay. Just making
sure. It's all about you.
Yep. Yep.
So the 9th is my big birthday party.
So we're trying to find a place for the dog to live. I'm on a hair trigger. What we have on the 9th is a set point in time and space. Your birthday party has to happen no matter what else is going on in our lives. I've booked the room. I have invited the people. We are ready to go.
I really thought we were going to have to cancel it.
It was, I mean, everything was pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
So we get there and Taylor from the Left Show says, why don't I just take your dog? I've been thinking about getting a new dog. This will be nice. I can watch the dog for a month or so and see what happens.
Yeah.
And we're like, fuck yeah.
Well, I was at a different table than you were, and I turned over to just check in.
Yeah.
And I saw you with your hands and your head in your hands, and you were just sobbing.
Yes.
It's like, oh, shit.
It was this massive wave of relief.
Yeah.
Came over me, which made me feel better about the whole day. So I drag you up in front of everybody.
You did. This all happened so fast.
Yeah, to sing happy birthday to you. I'm trying to position you in front of me, facing away from me, to look at the crowd.
Which is so super awkward. I was just felt so awkward.
It's your birthday. People are going to sing. You need to get used to that. You've had 40 of them. And now I'm going to sing constantly.
Not like
this.
At
all of your birthdays, I will be singing.
Okay.
That's just it.
Was that a promise?
Doesn't matter what.
That's fine. I'm fine with that.
Chances are it'll be like Skinny Puppy, but we'll do it. Anyway, so what I'm trying to do is get you to face the fuck away from me, mm-hmm. so that I can get down on one knee and propose. And I want it to be a little bit of a startlement, a surprise. You keep turning to me because you're feeling awkward, yeah. and you want me to stand next to you, and I keep turning you back, and I'm like, will you just stand still? I get down on one knee, and this is how it plays out in my head. Maybe it plays out different in your head. You turn back around because you will not stand still, and I'm now low, and you're like, what? Where? What? And then you look down, and there I am, big stupid grin on my face, and you're like, oh shit.
I didn't say oh shit.
Okay. And then
I don't know what I said. I'll have to look at the recording.
Yeah. And I had a speech in my head, you know, some bullet points that I'd been working on for several fucking months. Mm-hmm. But due to just the emotional damage that had been done from you going to the hospital through the thing with the dog and the thing with the kid moving and all these different bits and pieces, I couldn't speak. I just was so close to tears the whole time that I'm just like, I'm sorry, I had a speech ready, I don't think I can get through it, will you marry me? And you're like, okay.
I'm like, yeah, sure.
I suppose. I mean, we're okay. in front of all these people.
What else
how
am I
awkward,
supposed to say?
How awkward would it be to say no? Which you still haven't said, which is great.
No.
No, you said yes. It was a lovely, I've got it. My sister was there. She caught it on the video for us.
I love that she was there. That was so awesome.
Nah, she's good people. She is.
You were shocked.
It was a bar. She's a Mormon.
And she kept saying, I've been in bars before.
And I'm like, yeah, well, I don't see my mother here. I don't know. It was so anyway, for anybody that's wondering, just saying, it was a Piper Down. Mm-hmm. We're there because we love the food.
We do.
The general atmosphere.
Yeah, it's perfect.
The waitresses are amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, so no, it was great. I mean, so, you know, we walk out of there. Another one of my kids shows up, mm-hmm. and has her ID's expired, so they won't let her in. So we have to go outside and hang out for a few minutes, and it's freezing fucking cold.
Take some pictures.
And then, you know, we get everybody home. We go home. Everything's nice. A day and a half later, Taylor reaches out and says, I'm allergic to your dog.
Yeah.
And starts the whole process over
again. All over again.
So the dog comes back. We are now sequestering dogs in different rooms again. We're doing whatever we can. The dog ends up going over to another one of my kids' places. It's supposed to be temporary, and I hope it ends up that way. And you know, that takes a few more days. And then you've got, I'm in the Christmas season, and I work in retail. You know, I'm busy as shit. We're headed into Christmas. We're broke as fuck, you know, and it's just another year, but I'm in a good mood. I'm in a pretty good mood about everything. You seem to be in a pretty good mood.
Yeah, I've had a great year.
Yeah. Yeah, I did not have a great year. Yeah.
Well, this last month was like...
You've had a great month?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes more sense. Because 2023 was... a fucking slog. What a mess of a year that was. Especially for me. Do we need to pause?
No.
Okay. So yeah, we're heading into this year. Everything seems to be going okay. You're feeling better?
I am. Yep. I feel tired a lot when I have busy days. I get really tired, but overall, yeah, I feel a lot better. Doing well.
So here we are.
Yeah.
Doing another show.
Another show, finally.
Yeah. So we've got an article this week, only one. We're taking it easy for our first show back. I'm not going nuts. This is one that you sent to me called Does Age Matter in a Relationship? Because you're so funny. And I'm so old. Do you remember sending me this?
Vaguely.
Vaguely?
Wait, I sent it in Slack, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It says, if you've ever wondered whether age matters in a relationship, I've got either very good news or very bad news for you, depending on your outlook. According to a study from Emory University, researchers Andrew M. Francis and Hugo M. Mialon, it does a lot. Mm-hmm. And just in case the data itself wasn't enough, they put together some numbers into a couple of graphs that we're not going to be able to do anything with because this is an audio format, which is cool because the graphs don't actually load anymore.
Oh.
So.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, sort of. I'd really like to have the data, but we're going to talk through this anyway.
Okay.
So the study's not new. Francis Milan published their findings in a paper entitled A Diamond is Forever and Other Fairy Tales, The Relationship Between Wedding Expenses and Marriage Duration, back last September. I would really like to see what that one has to do, because I have a feeling that the more it costs to get married, the less likely you are to stay together.
Oh, yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say that with big expectant eyes. Like, right? Right? Cheap? Right?
Super cheap.
Super cheap. Anyway, the first set of graphs that we can't see were successful, that he's created a follow-up set. And these new graphs look a lot like other factors identifies as keys to a stable marriage that he didn't cover the first time around. Megan Garber at The Atlantic is primarily interested in the relative age of each partner. In news that surprises probably no one, the bigger the age gap, the more volatile the marriage. While it's only 3% more likely that partners with 1 year between them, as opposed to both being exactly the same age, will divorce, the figure jumps to 18% with just a 5 year difference.
Wow.
By 10 years, it's 39% more likely. A 20-year gap, which we don't have, thank you very much, it's 95% more likely you'll end up getting divorced. And by that time, by the time you get to 30 years, well, let's just say you may as well give up before you even begin.
Yeah.
Of course, as Garber notes, quote, if your partner happens to be 15 years older or younger than you, that's not automatically a bad omen. Statistics, of course, are not destiny. Continuing. As predictors, the study's findings stand to reason. Marriage is, above all, about 50-50 partnership. No, it's not. We already know that.
We already know this. We've evolved.
But it is about partnership. Differences in ages also mean differences in life experiences and cultural reference points.
Yep.
Don't know what that's about. Look, when you look back at, like, my childhood, mm-hmm. and even now, like, just for pop culture references... Cartoons lasted 2 years. So there's an age gap with people that are 2-3 years younger than me because they would have never seen what I saw. And those are, and TV shows that I saw that, you know, that only last a couple of seasons or something like that, where my cultural touchstones are wildly different than someone 3 or 4 years younger than me. 10 or 11 years, as it were, you have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about half the time.
Does it bother you?
It worries me. Mm. It doesn't bother me because you can't help that you're so young, you know, and you'll gain experience in time. Happened as you grow and mature.
Oh, wow.
You'll come to hopefully.
Can't wait till that happens.
Because there are. It's like you and I, okay, during the pandemic, when the theaters were trying to stay solvent and there were no new movies coming out, they started replaying classic old films. Mm-hmm. So we went and saw Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, yeah.
Which you seemed to enjoy.
I did.
Yes. Then the next one we went and saw was Lost Boys.
Oh, yeah. And the vampires.
And at the end of Lost Boys, you turned over to me with a smile on your face and said, "What the fuck was that?" And I said, "That's an 80s vampire movie." And you went, "Oh." And that was all you said on it for the rest of the day. We just talked about other stuff. And I was like, "Oh, shit." Because up until that point, I'm like, this is a fucking classic. And then seeing it through the eyes of someone who'd never seen it before, I was like, this is a pretty silly movie.
It's so silly.
It's so silly.
But I love it. I have fun when you show me new movies.
Jason, you're a vampire. I'm telling Mom. I mean, it's such a great movie. No, don't tell Mom.
Isn't that the one with the sweaty saxophone guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We call him the sexy saxophone guy.
Oh.
Because he was greased up, not sweaty.
Okay.
However, I found out, just as an aside, that there's a comic book that someone made in which sexy sax guy is a vampire hunter.
No.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, I think that one's great. And would like to find it. So, I mean, yeah, that's what it comes down to for pop culture stuff.
Yeah.
You know, is that there's a vast difference in what was playing in the late 70s, early 80s, as opposed to what was playing in the late 80s, early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
When you were in elementary and I was in college.
I was watching Rainbow Bright. And Pound Puppies.
And I remember Pound Puppies. I never watched them. I just remember them being very popular around Christmas.
Oh.
Yeah. When I was a kid, it was Cabbage Patch Kids.
Mm.
Those Cabbage Patch dolls. Man, the weird housewife hustle to try and get your hands on those turned into fucking mayhem. You know, and it was great. When I was a kid, I was 11 or 12, downtown Salt Lake City flooded, and we had a river going right down State Street,
mm-hmm.
and you weren't born yet. And I was filling sandbags with my Cub Scout troop. I mean that's just what it is there were things. The winter of 81, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, that was when I built my first snow cave system in the backyard. We had so much snow.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, just things like that. Reagan. I was aware of Reagan. You were not breastfeeding. So, your first president memory is probably Herbert Walker Bush?
Bush, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's all. There's differences. I don't see them as that big a deal.
Well, I think right now with our age, it's not a big deal.
No.
You know, when you're a teenager dating, that's a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Well, then it's wildly inappropriate.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's just it. Is it's guys in their 20s that are dating 16, 17, 18-year-old girls. No. It icks me out. It pisses me off.
Yeah. I mean, why? Why? What are you getting from a relationship with a high schooler? Your worlds are so different at that point.
Yeah. Maybe. Anyway, back to the article. Generations may be an invention, but they are meaningful nonetheless. Obviously, who you enter a relationship with is an incredibly personal choice. The writer of the article says that they've always troubled picturing themselves with someone either dramatically older or younger than they are. I can't really reconcile being at a totally different point in my life with my chosen partner with the idea of, yes, this is who I want to spend the rest of my life with, but maybe that's just me. Now, age gaps I've had with significant others throughout my life have always been a year or two difference, you know, not that close. And then you and I start dating, and this is the largest age gap I've ever had at 11 years. And it doesn't bother me. It does give me these light frustrations.
Mm-hmm.
But that usually, thanks to streaming services, I can alleviate by saying, watch this thing with me so that you understand
so
these references. Okay, or what you said. Or I guess you could judge me. Mine was more, you know, here's like Monty Python. You have no interest in Monty Python.
I'd watch it if you want me to.
I think we could probably watch like The Life of Brian. I think that one would be good. And if you like that one, then we can move on to other ones.
I'm just waiting for my turn.
So I can watch Pound Puppies?
So you get to watch all the shit that I want you to watch.
Like Melrose Place, 90210?
I was too old for that. I mean, I was too young for that.
Damn it. Like, what are you going to make me watch?
I don't know. I'll think about it.
I mean, I'm watching football now.
You are?
Yeah. I'm not there where you are.
But you've come leaps and bounds.
I have. I know some names.
Mm-hmm.
I know some teams.
Mm-hmm.
That Taylor Swift boyfriend seems like a really nice guy. Those two, the Kelce brothers, they're a revelation to me for football guys. You know? Because most football guys I know come from the experiences I had with football guys in like high school.
Mm-hmm.
They were just assholes.
Yeah.
So when you get a couple of guys like Jason and Travis, they were probably assholes in high school.
Probably.
Make no mistake, but they've come a long way.
Yeah.
And I keep seeing clips for their little podcast to the point where I almost want to listen to it. I just know that the it's probably an hour and it's 55 minutes of football and
right.
then 3 minutes of the clip
the
I saw
clips
on TikTok.
That you like.
Yeah. But I don't know.
I like that they call each other on their bullshit. Like Travis will call Jason on his laziness or, you know, and it's good. I like that.
Or when he forgot his pants.
Yeah.
And he blamed it on his wife. And yeah. he's like, they're your pants, dude.
I know. So she was getting all the kids ready and her ready. And she had to get you ready, too. And he's like, oh.
So what else? What else would you make me watch?
I don't know. I have to think about it.
What did
it.
You watch? What did you watch as a kid? Like late teens?
Oprah.
Yeah. No, thanks.
Donnie and Marie.
No, Donnie and Marie predates you.
No, they had a talk show.
Oh, that. Oh, I was thinking of the Donnie and Marie show, which was late 70s. Oh, yeah. They did have a talk show.
They did. I watched it.
You watch weird shit.
I know.
I don't get it.
I would come home and watch Oprah every day after school.
I it's, you know, honestly, with Oprah, I admire her life path and journey and all that shit. But I'm also well aware she gave us fucking Dr. Oz and Dr. Phil and all these other fucking quacks. You know,
I
never got a car so she can bite me or she can send me a car and I'll be your biggest fan. I mean, either or.
Either one.
Come on, Oprah. You can afford it. It's just a car. Actually, can I have a grant?
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Dear Oprah, since George Soros won't return my emails, my open letters, what am I going to do? I don't know how to get a fucking hold of George Soros. I've been called a Soros-funded left-wing agitator for years now.
By who?
By Republicans here in the state.
Oh.
They think that all Democrats, all lefties, all liberals are just funded by George Soros. Mm. And like I said, we've said prayers to George Soros on the left show. I've sent letters to the companies that he runs. I've sent open letters on the internet. Never heard a peep from the guy.
God damn it.
I know.
How rude.
That's all I want. All I want to do is get enough money to do this startup that I want to do on content incubators to teach people how to do basically what I do.
Mm-hmm.
but I need a little startup capital and I don't know how to find it.
Yeah.
So, you know. George Soros sending me a check would really help out.
Or Oprah.
Oprah sending a check would really help out. Oprah.
Harpo Studios.
Come on, buddy. All I need is a one-room office I could turn into a light studio. It's not that big a deal.
No. I'd love an office.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? We used to have one. We did. I mean, that's the other thing of being together with an age gap. Is you have younger kids.
Mm-hmm.
Mine are all adults.
Mm-hmm.
Though the last one just became an adult like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
But still, you know, you still got younger kids. We've got a couple of them in the house, which is why we don't have an office anymore.
Exactly why.
Not that that was a great place to build a business anyway, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my dad built his advertising agency in a spare room in our basement when I was a kid, before he had an office. He had an office downstairs for almost a year, I think, you know. So, and while I'm a little older than he was when he started, I am not older than he was when he decided to scrap advertising and go learn how to be an arborist.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. He got sick of kissing ass. Which I'm sick of as well.
I'm sure.
But I don't do it the way he did it.
No.
You know, my dad is a genuinely nice, kind man. I am as well, but I don't have the soft touch that he does.
Mm.
You know? I really
They're
don't.
You're different, but you do.
To a point. I've fired clients before. My dad never fired a client.
Mm.
You know? Whereas I have, even when I can't afford it, just gone, you're too much work.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Fuck off.
Please go away. So I don't know.
Well, it works. So back to this age gap thing. It works for Cher. She's dating Edward, who's 37 years old, and she is 77. He's 40 years younger.
Yeah, but she signed a deal with the devil and bathes in virgin blood. She so does. She only looks like she's in her 50s. If that.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall in their relationship, though. I wonder what that really looks like.
Ow, my back.
Interesting.
37? He's 37? Good for them. What the fuck do they talk about? He wasn't even alive when she had a show.
Nuts.
Yeah.
And it was Sarah Paulson and Holland Taylor.
There's a bit of a gap there.
They're like 30 years.
Yeah.
And I adore them. I think they are like the best couple.
I think one of the things that this article doesn't mention, and because we can't see the graphs, I don't know. I think once you are a little older, that age gap becomes less and less a thing.
Yeah.
Because you and I have a lot of laughs at my expense about things I know that you've never heard of before.
Mm-hmm.
And I always get indignant, and then we'll watch something or listen to something or all that. And it's usually fucking embarrassing because I'm like, oh, yeah, this was garbage. I forgot. And that was kind of how it was with Lost Boys, is it holds such a nostalgic place mm-hmm. as something that I did with people that I enjoyed spending time with. Versus, and of course, you know, it being the 80s, that's just how movies were.
Mm-hmm.
I go back and look at it now, and I was like, you know what? That's a pretty weak script. Had some glaring plot holes. You know, the main or antagonist, I don't really find all that frightening. Isn't that the guy who played Herman Munster? I don't know. That sort of thing. You know, you got Kiefer Sutherland in it.
Love Keith.
Alex Winter, a couple of nameless guys, Jason Patrick, one of the Coreys, I believe it was Haim.
I have no idea.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, just a weird reference for me to keep coming back to, but I think that it just sort of goes with the topic.
I guess my movie would be... Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
I hate that movie.
I used
so
to
much.
Watch that movie over and over when I was little.
I watched it a couple times, mostly for Christina Applegate.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she was, still is, but, you know, wildly hot.
Yeah.
And that used to be a motivator for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not anymore. Mostly. I won't go and see something I don't want to see just because somebody I like is in it anymore.
Really?
We obviously know I have an unhealthy obsession with Katie Sackhoff.
Right.
But I didn't give a shit about her. What was it, 24 she was in? Yeah.
She was in 24?
She was in either that or a CSI or something.
Oh.
Just something I didn't care about.
Yeah.
And so I didn't watch it.
Interesting.
You know, I mean, it's just really what it is. Kate Beckinsale was in a rom-com not too long ago, and I'm like, meh, whatever. You know, but she was in an action movie, Jolt, and I watched the shit out of that. That was fucking great. I watched that the minute it came out.
I guess I haven't seen everything with Sarah Paulson in it. She's in American Horror Story. I haven't seen those.
Yeah. But she was great in Studio 60.
Oh.
On the Sunset Strip.
I watched one season of American Horror Story's Cult, and I love her so much. She was great.
Yeah. Was that where she played the Siamese twins?
No.
Oh. Yeah, she's in several seasons of that.
Yeah.
And apparently does some pretty incredibly strange work.
I love her.
So here we have the finale of the article. The longer your marriage lasts, the less likely you are to divorce. What I find really fascinating about this one, though, is that it could be interrupted in so many different ways. Do couples who stay together longer really have better relationships? Or do couples stay together for other reasons, mm-hmm. even when they know the relationship isn't happy anymore? Huh, my last marriage? You know?
Yeah.
Financial reasons, parenting reasons, you know, whatever. It's a combination of the two or something else entirely. Ultimately, I suspect it's much more complicated than one simple answer, but it's interesting nonetheless. I kind of like to see another study delve into this topic, and I'd love to see Olson visualize it if and when that happens. So, let's see. One more try. I don't want to do it. It looks like science.
Many graphs.
Yeah, I'm an art degree guy. So, I mean, that's just it. I think we're fine. That's what it rolls down to. You send it to me, obviously alarmed.
I was not alarmed.
But yeah, I think we're okay. I don't think it's that. I think we waited long enough for the age gap to not be that big a deal.
Yeah.
Do you?
I think so.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I feel good about our relationship.
I do too. I do too. How do you guys feel about our relationship? I mean, it's been, what, 6 weeks since we recorded? Yeah. So it's not that the recording has anything to do with our relationship. Let's do this. Let's take a break. We come back on the other side. We're going to answer some questions that nobody asked us.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. Jackie Robinson waited 20 months to play his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
All right, we start out with not an odd one, but a serious one. I've been married to my wife for almost 12 years. We're both about 40 and have 3 kids. Two of whom are high needs. She's a SAHM, A-S-A-H-M. I don't know what that is. And recently picked up some part-time work from home.
A stay-at-home mom.
Oh, that's it. Doing phone shifts on a contingent basis for a little extra money. Her choice. I support it. She wants to be home and available for the kids and also homeschools 2 of the 3 kids while the other attends public special ed.
Wow.
Yep. We have no village or family support. There's no help for the level of ASD we have to deal with at home. I've tried. She's a perfectionist with OCD, unwilling to see a therapist, total control freak, and private to a fault. She wants to do everything, but sometimes uses it against me that I don't help. I am not exaggerating. I have vacuumed while she went to her family's for her to complain that she's just going to have to vacuum again. When I try to help, I've been through that before. Nothing on the floor, but the triangles were the wrong size.
Yeah.
That was my mother.
Yeah.
You know, your triangles are too wide. God. Do it again. Okay. I don't want.
Nuts.
Yeah. Let's see. Where do we get to? When I try to help with something typically in her domain, I get pushed aside for not doing it exactly as she would do it. We had company and I was browning meat for tacos in the kitchen. She was unhappy with my method of stirring the meat and asked me to leave, sort of belittling me in the process. Her friends half jokingly admonished her about that interaction. I do have a set of chores, literally everything outside the house, working, transporting the kids, groceries, returns, shopping. She likes to stay home and never shops in stores. She hasn't pumped gas in 12 years. All this to say, trying to get her to the couch or bed at a reasonable hour for any togetherness time or just to hang out and watch TV or a movie is usually impossible. If I do the dishes, she redoes them. I lived alone for a long time. I know how to clean. She doesn't care. She carries her iPad around all day and has an AirPod with a movie or a show on during meals or laundry. She loves to watch romantic comedies almost exclusively. Interestingly, when we were dating, she would watch stuff that I like sometimes too. She would rather not now, and if I'm watching anything that isn't a romantic comedy, she will put in an AirPod for her iPad. She keeps me up too late with her buzzing around, often in bed, awake reading or crafting or getting ready for the next school day. Folding clothes in bed. I work early with a long commute, hybrid office days. The rest of our house has a freelance schedule. Eventually, I will insist to turn off the lights and go to sleep, sometimes as late as 3 a.m.
Jeez.
Here's where I get frustrated. She will not accept a touch or a cuddle. Really doesn't even want to talk to me most of the day. About 30 minutes after I roll over and go to sleep, she'll often want a cuddle. She needs a lot less sleep than me. Fine. I really do starve for affection. I'll take what I can get. Usually she falls asleep in minutes and I slip back to my position for sleeping. Depending on how much I would dislike it, it seems like no matter how much she will... Or let's see. It seems like that's how much she will try to initiate sex. I told her it seems like a point scale. 100 points for her to want sex. 10 points if I'm way too tired. 30 points if I have to get up early. Another 10 points if I had a terrible day or planned a terrible day at work. Oddly enough, 50 points if I'm not feeling well in any way. Cough, fever. Let's go. She will start touching and maybe kissing at 2 to 3 a.m. I'm generally half asleep in a dream state at that point. I have literally started snoring during her initiating, and she thinks I have some sort of libido problem because if she's willing, I should be like a rabid dog. When I do try to reciprocate, it's not exactly my best performance because I'm just about dead and honestly feeling conflicted due to frustration. Also, at that point, the lights are off, my glasses are off, sex in the dark, her preferred way, is very much the opposite of what I'd like. We got some books on sex, trying to reconnect, spark, etc. She determined that she could only be interested after she's had a very long time to clear her mind from the day. Her day never ends. Therein lies the problem. She has to fix the house up completely perfect each night. It's frustrating. The problem is I've been in my life the 2 to 3 a.m. initiator.
Mm-hmm.
Just, and a lot of it has to do with the same thing, is I carry a lot of pain from having not taken care of myself in my 20s. And for some reason in the middle of the night, late at night is when I feel fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because I'm too tired to know that I don't feel fine. You know, so I can absolutely understand that frustration.
There's a lot there.
There is a lot to unpack.
More than just the question.
Yeah. Honestly, it sounds like she needs some therapy.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like he could use a little therapy. Just in other words, to reframe his frustrations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because you have a good point doesn't mean that there's not something going on with you as well.
Yeah.
You know, but I do. I feel like I've been in part of this relationship before, you know, where nothing you do is right. Everything you do is wrong.
It's rough.
You know, move out of the fucking way. What kind of a fucking idiot are you because you would do a thing that way?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that was my last marriage, was basically one insult after another for 20 fucking years.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a little demeaning and frustrating.
Yeah, well, you don't want to help.
Nope. Nope.
I had... There was one thing that annoyed me that I had to get over with us.
With us?
Yes.
Oh, God.
And it was the towels. And now, just the way you fold the towels drove me crazy. And then I'm like, who cares about how the towels are folded? They're folded and they're in the cupboard and they're clean.
You don't like them in a triangle shape. You don't like triangles. I don't know why.
I don't mind triangles. I just don't think your towel should be triangle. Like, who folds a towel like a flag?
Those of us who love America.
Okay. But look at me. I'm over it. Now I watch you fold them however you want.
You're not over. You can't even make eye contact with me right now. You don't. I mostly fold them in squares. We just get to the square shape a little different. And then every once in a while when I'm folding towels and you give me the side eye or the cross eye or the what are you doing face, that's when I start folding into flag triangles. You know, here's your towel. Thank you for your service. I don't know.
But it's true. It's like, okay, if somebody's going to do the dishes, let them just do the dishes how they want to do them.
Yeah.
You know?
So, the guy here is in a tough situation. He obviously loves his kids and he loves his wife and he wants it all to work out, but he doesn't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? She seems unwilling to make any change whatsoever and mm-hmm. is blaming him. You know? Is there a solution short of divorce that you can see? If she won't go to therapy?
Medication.
Yeah, but how do you get to medication without seeing a doctor first?
Medication for him, probably.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Something to get him running in the middle of the day. But I'm just saying, when you got to be up at 6 to an hour drive to work, it starts at 7, you know.
And you're going
you're
to
not allowed
three.
To go to sleep till 2 or 3, you know. And then at 3 o'clock, it's game time?
Yeah.
Nah, that's untenable. You can't do that but once in a while without somebody getting hurt.
Yeah. And it sounds like this has gone on for so many years. This is not like a new thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I'm aware of, like that we talk about stuff as soon as they come up.
Yes.
So it's not like years of this behavior that is driving us crazy.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're pretty good at talking. We're a good couple of talkers.
I know.
Yeah. All right. We got another letter.
Okay.
Look, if you guys want to weigh in on stuff like this, you know, you can pop over to theleftshow.com, write something in the comments. You know, there's a contact form there. Send it in. If you guys have questions and you need a little anonymity with some completely unqualified advice givers.
We're your people.
Yeah, you can pop over to theleftshow.com and you can fill that out as well for now. And then it'll be a different website in about 3 more episodes. All right, so this one, my husband, 36, and me, 37. Oh, Jesus Christ. It's I. Okay?
I know.
Okay. My husband, 36, and I, 37, are going to Mexico without our kids, ages 4 and 2, for our 5-year anniversary.
Whoop, whoop.
We've only been on one other trip before our second was born, for a baby moon in Arizona. A baby moon apparently being a thing. Yeah. Where you go on a trip after you have a baby.
No, before.
Before?
While you're still pregnant.
Oh.
You go on a trip before while you're still pregnant before you have the baby.
Oh, okay. I do need a break and our marriage needs the attention desperately, but I'm really anxious about 2 things. Number 1, going this far without the kids. I'm not sure how I'll be able to relax and actually enjoy the vacation without worrying about the kids. They'll be with our babysitter and grandparents, but I've woken up at night now worrying about being away from them. I know it will be worse once we're actually gone. Number 2, my husband has mentioned on multiple occasions how he hopes we have a lot of intimacy on this trip. Intimacy is our biggest hurdle in our relationship for a multitude of reasons. It's 1 time a month at best. I'm open to it, but it feels like I'm preparing for a performance review. With the anxiety of number 1, in addition to knowing his expectations ahead of time, I'm feeling a ton of pressure. Has anyone been in this scenario? How do I relax while I'm away? How do you revive your marriage intimacy on vacation? Well, chill.
Have yourself a margarita. Put your feet up. See
on
what
his
happens.
Shoulders.
Yeah.
What? I mean, really, it's... You have an amazing opportunity. An amazing opportunity that I never had, in which you have a support system that'll watch your kids while you go out of town. Enjoy that. That's what mm-hmm. the fuck your parents are for. You even threw a babysitter in on top of it.
Yeah.
You know, not for nothing, but they're probably going to be taken better care of than when you're just doing it by yourself. Because people are always afraid of hurting other people's kids, for the most part.
It's easier said than done, but don't worry about things that haven't happened yet.
This may also be, to use your advice for their previous letter, a good time to see a doctor and maybe get some anxiety medication.
Yeah.
Because it seems like you cannot fucking unwind. And number 1's a fine excuse, but it's an excuse. You know, it really is. Somewhere in your subconscious, you've made the decision to be terrified. Mm-hmm. Of not being around your kids for a couple of days, you know, whereas I think that the thing that you should be the most worried about is the fact that you're going on vacation in fucking Arizona. What are you going to do in Arizona?
I thought they were going to Mexico.
Is it Mexico? Why did I think it was Arizona?
I think they went to Arizona the first time.
Oh, that's right. You did. Okay. So no wonder you're anxious. The first vacation had to be shit. It's fucking Arizona. It's probably
it's hot.
judging by the name of the thing, it was probably Jan Brewer was running the state at the time. Blech. But yeah, I number two, where you're having intimacy issues, seems like the crux of the problem. Mm-hmm. Number one seems like an excuse to fuel number two.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's really it. If you're having intimacy issues and your husband's like, let's do what we can to reverse those, and you're like, this freaks me out, there are underlying problems mm-hmm. that have more to do with whether or not you're freaking out about your kids. And those intimacy issues are going to be the biggest weight, you know, on the swimmer of your marriage, you know, just sitting on their shoulders until you guys can figure that out. Is it couples counseling? That would probably be a good idea. Is it counseling for one or the both of you? Also a good idea.
Like a good idea.
Yeah. Having a margarita and putting your ankles on his shoulders, I think, is that probably like a good idea. First step. You know? Give into it. Just relax. And a few times you're going to have intrusive thoughts where you're worried about this or that or the other. But for the most part, just... You know, if it is something that you want, and it is, if the relationship is important to you and you're looking to make a rescue, give in. Close your eyes, plug your nose, jump in with both feet, and have fun.
Yeah.
You know, try, just decide you're going to have fun and go have fun. Don't you think?
Yeah.
You're looking at me funny.
I am, because no.
Oh.
Don't think you do that at all, but I think it's great advice. Jump in, have fun.
I have fun. I'm a fun guy.
Don't worry about all the things like that could go wrong.
It's not really that. Mine's more of a work obsession, mm-hmm. where I have to be producing content or I'm failing. You know, so mine's more. I'm not worried about whether or not we can have fun on vacation. I'm worried about whether or not we can afford the fucking vacation in the first place. Holy shit, how much work am I going to have to do to pay for this when it's all done? I don't know what to do. It's all a panic attack and I'm just freaking the fuck out.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, I'm a little different than this dude.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's all. Well, I don't know if that's advice or not, but I don't have any more letters. So what do you say we wrap this thing
up?
Yeah,
let's do it.
Okay. How do you feel? Any advice for the folks out there?
Oh, it's good. It was a good show.
It was a good show?
I had fun. Yeah, I've missed recording with you.
I miss recording with you. So we'll figure it out.
Okay.
All right. Well, I love you.
I love you.
All right. I'll see you next week.